Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast.
I was a little late because I was overwhelmed, man, by those songs and I feel incredibly moved to tell you that I love you very much. I love you. I love you. And I love being here. I love getting to do what I do. I love being your pastor. I love our church. And I'm just so grateful that we get to gather together and do this. I mean, if you're new to our church, I would like to tell you I don't cry every week, but that would be a lie. I'm a softy. Hey, we're in the middle of a series that we're calling The Blueprint, and it's a series about God's perfect plan for our life, and we've been in it for 3 weeks. We have three more to go, and we've been doing something pretty kind of unique for our church. We've been studying one book in our New Testament. It's the book of Ephesians, which is a letter written by this guy named Paul, who was an early church leader. And he would write letters to churches to give them instructions for, you know, how to be Christians, because they didn't know. And the cool thing is, we believe God's Holy Spirit was speaking through Paul when he wrote these letters. And so thousands of years later, we can read these letters, and it's like God is speaking directly to us. And the letter we're looking at, specifically the letter to the church in Ephesians, is a letter in six chapters where Paul basically unveils to the Ephesians and through the Ephesians to us God's perfect plan for our life. And we've been in chapters 1, 2, and 3. We finished chapter 3 last week. And in fact, if you're new to our church or maybe you're catching up, if you don't have our app already, grab it. Great way to stay connected with us. But also you can go back and you can see where we've been the last few weeks. But basically I'm going to do my best to summarize very quickly. Here's what we've learned over the last 3 weeks about God's plan for every single one of us in the room, every single one of us online, every single one of us with breath in our lungs. This is God's plan for our life. And it says, it's that we love him, trust him, follow him, and help others find him. This is where we went last week, because we are his children. That's why we call him our heavenly father. If you consider yourself a Christian today, our Heavenly Father has adopted you. You are a son. You are a daughter of the King with all access, all rights, all privileges that come to an heir. If you're here today kind of checking out faith, one of the things I love about our church is that we have people attend every week that don't believe what we believe. You're here kind of checking it out because somebody invited you. And man, we want to be the safest place in Myrtle Beach for you to get your questions answered about God. And I want you to know what we're talking about today, for the last few weeks and for the next few weeks, is possible for you. It is God's plan for your life. And all he asks us to do is to believe, is to trust, and to say, all right, Jesus, I'll follow you. And that's where we're going to pick up today, because, like I said, if you've been here for the last few weeks, we've done a lot of looking at God, which is where we should start. Paul spends three chapters talking about all the things God has done for us, all the things he has provided for us, what his plan is for our life, how he's made the plan possible, how he wants to power the plan, how he sent his son so we could be reconnected. And so at the end of chapter 3, Paul, it's almost like in his brain, he goes, okay, I've explained this well enough. They now clearly understand what was done for them. And today we're going to pick up in chapter 4. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, for those of you like me who are going to panic, we're only going to get through half of the chapter, all right? So when we get halfway, you're like, what is happening? We're not going to finish the chapter today. We're going to do half the chapter today. And then some of you are doing the math. Next week, we're going to handle the middle of 4, all of 5, and part of 6, because essentially what Paul does next week is he gives us lots of instructions about lots of areas of life, things we teach about all the time here at our church. And we're going to talk about the basic principle he gives. And then we're going to end week 6 with the bottom half of 6. So there, some of you really needed to know that. You're like, oh, thank you, Pastor. I feel so seen and heard and felt. So we're only going to get through half of it today, all right? We're all on the same page with that? Okay, it's going to be good, I promise. Here's how Paul begins. This is very common for Paul, by the way. In a lot of Paul's letters, he begins with Jesus. He begins with God. He explains all the things God's done. And then he turns. And this is normally how he turns. Therefore. What he's basically saying is, in light of every single thing I've written in chapters 1, 2, and 3, in light of everything we've discussed about who God is, what he's done for you, what his plan is for your life, why he wants you to follow him, all the things, in light of all of that, therefore, and then Paul adds a little more, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, Paul's in prison right now for being a Christian. He's writing this from prison. He says, I beg you. Paul's passionate about this because Paul's seen the full picture. He knows exactly what God wants to do in the world. And Paul understood better than most people that God wanted to use us to accomplish his purposes. Remember, I said he wants us to love him, trust him, follow him, and help others find him. God wants to use us to change the world. And that's not hyperbole. He wants to use us to be the catalyst to change someone's world. And if you're a Christian, you know that's true because someone was that catalyst in your life. That's God's plan. So he says, therefore, in light of all of this, I beg you, I plead with you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. To lead a life that is worthy, that measures up. The actual Greek word there, it says lead a life, but the actual Greek says walk worthy. And I like that. Walk worthy. Now, if you're like me, you can hear that. You can think, well, wait, what's worthy? Does that mean I can blow this? Does that mean I can mess this up? No. It means walk in a way that acknowledges what's been done for you. Walk in a way that reveals on a day-to-day basis, I understand what I have because of what my dad has done. I'm thinking about how to try to explain this. And over the weekend, I was thinking through the message and praying, and I thought about my mom. And my mom lives here, and she's a great cook. And my sons, my boys, call her Mimi. And with deepest love and respect, they sometimes make fun of Mimi. Especially my oldest son, he likes to do impressions of Mimi. She's aware of this. And one of our favorite things to tease my mother about is her use of a phrase that she says 10 times a day. And it's this. Well, I would just hate to waste that. You know some of these people. Now, to defend my mother, she got it honestly because her father, my grandfather, saved everything that ever came into his house, ever. He had a drawer full of the twist ties that come on the bread. Yeah. My mom has sort of limited it to like food or, like material, but like if we're out to eat, if we're at home and there's some leftovers and we start to throw it away, she will go, no, I would just hate to waste that. And she has a Tupperware container perfectly sized for whatever portion it is. And if you put the portion in a container too big for the portion, she has a heart attack. Because she'd hate to waste that. I would hate to waste that space. So we lovingly tease my mother. She'll be here second hour sitting right there and I'll make fun of her to her face. It's fine. we lovingly tease her anytime. Oh, I just hate to waste that. Well, mom's going to be real happy because she's 100% right. That is the mentality Paul is inviting those of us who call ourselves Christians to adopt on a daily basis. That's how we walk worthy. We wake up every single day. We allow our Heavenly Father to remind us of the endless riches that He pours out on us, and we live a life that says, I would hate to waste that. Another way to put it, I am never going to settle for anything less than God's absolute best in my life. It is not a call to perform. Is an invitation to embrace everything God's done for us. That is how we walk worthy. We walk fully understanding every single day. We didn't earn this. We don't perform for this. We don't get extra credit for this. We walk in the amazing love and grace that our Heavenly Father pours out on us. That's how we walk worthy. Because we would hate to waste what God's done. And it's with that principle that Paul writes for three more chapters. In light of what God's done, live a life that makes the most of it. Don't settle for less than His best. And he works through systematically kind of three different areas. Today he's going to talk about a key gift God has given us to allow us to walk worthy. And it's only as we lean in and embrace that gift next week that we will be able to learn to walk worthy in every single area of our lives. And then as we close, we find out that he even invites us to trust in Him as we move forward and as we go out into a world that may not always agree with everything we say and do and think and believe. But before we can get to those 2 weeks, we have to hear about the gift He's given us for today. See what He says? Hey, live a life that's worthy. Make the most of it. Don't waste it. How do we do that? He says, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. I don't want you to miss this. Paul gives some basic instructions here, but listen to how he says it. He says, be patient with each other. He says, make allowances for each other's faults. In fact, let's keep going. He adds, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit. Binding yourselves together with peace. Now, this is where we have to step back for a minute. And if you haven't been here, you may not remember this or you may not know this. Paul's writing this letter not to an individual. He's writing this letter to a group. He's writing this letter to the church in Ephesus. Which is why when he begins speaking about how to make the most of what God has given us, he speaks in terms of community. Because as Paul understands God's plan for me and for you and for us, he cannot envision walking worthy. He cannot envision making the most of every opportunity. He cannot envision leading a life worthy of the calling with which we've been called. He cannot envision doing that in isolation. He can only envision it within the context and the confines of God's people, within the community of the local church. That's why every letter Paul wrote besides two were directed to a church. The two letters he wrote to Timothy were to Timothy because he was the pastor of a church. And he was giving Timothy instructions on how to lead his church. And if you've been here the last few weeks, you've heard Paul talk over and over and over again how in Jesus we are unified. He made a big deal to talk about how there is no Jew and there is no Gentile. There is no social division. There is no socioeconomic division. There is no ethnic division. There are no divisions amongst God's people in his church. Because that's the plan. That's how you change the world. When the world, the outsider, doesn't have Jesus, sees a group of people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different ideologies, all coming together to unite around one man, Jesus, to be kind to each other, to serve each other, to love each other, to be patient with each other, to make allowances for each other's faults. Paul's like, that's how you embrace what Dad's done for us. That's how you change the world. Because here's what Paul's really teaching us, and we're going to see this a little later today, but I kind of want you to know it in advance. God's plan is fulfilled through his church. It just is. God's plan for humanity was to use his gathering of believers, his collection of believers, his church of believers, to not only love each other, but to become his physical representation on earth to reach the people that need Jesus, which is everybody. I know this because the next thing Paul says is he says, for there is one body. Now again, he's talking specifically to the church in Ephesus. He's not talking in general terms about the church writ large. He's talking about the Ephesian church. If he was talking to Wellspring, he would say Wellspring is one body. He would say Beach Church is one body. He would say Ocean View is one body. And your effectiveness is going to revolve around your ability to be kind to each other, be patient with each other, make allowance for each other's faults, and to keep yourselves unified. Because that oneness is a picture of me. That's what he says. For there is one body and one Spirit, our Holy Spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. There's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. Paul cannot fathom walking worthy outside of community. God cannot fathom Christians following God's path absent God's people. Never crossed his mind. Crosses a lot of our minds. But that's why we're reading the plan. And that's why we're studying. Because Paul's saying, hey, don't waste this. And if we wake up with that, I would sure hate to waste that mentality. Paul's point is, that should push us towards community. That should push us towards his people. Specifically, that should push us towards a local church. Now please hear me. I did not say this local church. I love you. And if you call Wellspring home, man, I want you to dive in with both feet. But I am not remotely arrogant enough to say we're the only church, because we're not. There are great churches in this town. And one of them has your name on it. I hope with all my heart it's this one. But I love you more than I love you here if your heart's not here. I mean that. Because I know what's best for you and what's best for me is for us to follow God's plan and for us to walk in community. And that means to find a church, our church, so that we can grow. Because God's going to fulfill his plan through his church. And he's going to fulfill his plan through you. That's what Paul says next. He says, even though we're going to be unified, he said he's given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. Every single person in this room, every single person online, every single person you've ever locked eyes with is part of God's plan. And part of his plan is to give them a gift. Gift, strength, talent, ability, inclination that he wants them to use for his purposes. So here's what that means. Not only is God's plan fulfilled through his church. Are you ready for this? Our purpose is found in his church. In a local church. Now please hear me. That does not mean we all have to work for a church. Yikes. Now what it means. It means if your purpose in this world is to be a mom, church is where you're going to learn the skills to become a great mom. It means whatever God has planned for you in your at work, in your family, in your neighborhood, where you are going to learn, where you're going to be molded, where you're going to be shaped, where those gifts are going to be honed, where you're going to find the strength to carry them out is within a local church. Because that is how our Heavenly Father designed it to work. And Paul explains it. He spends a few verses quoting an Old Testament prophecy about Jesus giving gifts to sort of convince the Ephesians he's really done this. And then in verse 11, he picks back up and he begins talking about the church at large. And he's like, this is how much God cares about the church. This is how much he has invested in the church. This is how valuable the church is. He says, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. And again, not the church at large. These are the gifts Christ gave to Wellspring Church. These are also the gifts he's given to Beach Church. These are the gifts he's given to Ocean View. These are the gifts he gives the local church. He's given us the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and pastors and teachers. Let me explain. The apostles and the prophets. The apostles were the men in the New Testament who carried the message of Jesus and wrote the New Testament. The prophets were the men of God in the Old Testament who wrote down the message of the Old Testament. So we have been given this amazing gift of these documents we can read that tell about God's movement on earth from the creation of time until he sent Jesus to rescue us all and to put this plan in motion. That's a gift to the church. That's a gift to every single one of us that we can read these things and we can hear from God's Holy Spirit and we can let it change our lives. We can open the book of Ephesians and we can see exactly what God's plan is for our life. That is a gift we have. And that is a gift to be used within the confines of the church. That doesn't mean don't read your Bible on your own. We talk about it all the time. I hope you read your Bible on your own. Please read your Bible on your own. But what it's growing us and shaping us and molding us and becoming should be making us kinder, more patient, more loving, should lead us to make allowance for each other's faults so that we can stay unified as one body. He's also given us the evangelists. These are men and women gifted by God with a specific ability to share the truth of Jesus. Some of you, your lives were changed by an evangelist. You didn't know that. You thought it was your college roommate. You didn't realize that God had gifted that person with evangelism and their ability to talk to you and share with you the faith they had drew you in a way it had never happened before. That's because God loves you and he had given you that gift. So we have the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and then it says, and then we have the pastors and teachers. This is talking about the local ministers, the local staff, the men and women called by God to lead his local churches, his local expressions. It's a little uncomfortable because Paul's basically saying to you, I'm a gift, so you're welcome. Paul's words, not mine. Now, my wife's a gift. I'm like, yeah. You got to buy one, get one free. That's what happened. I kind of came along. But let me show you what my job is. Let me show you what the staff's job is, the paid ministers of this church. Here's our job. My responsibility, our responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. My job is to equip you to walk worthy. My job is to equip you to know how to make the most of what God's given. That's how God designed it. And so if you think about that in the reverse, if church is where we go to be equipped to play our role in God's story, and church isn't a vital part of our life, where do we get equipped? Again, this is not an infomercial for our church. I love you. This is an invitation to dive in to a church. Because when that church becomes your church, that is where we are equipped to walk worthy. That's what Paul says. He says our job's to equip, and then he says this will continue. It's not a one-time thing. It's not a one-and-done thing. It's not a where you're equipped, you're good, you're fine. That's not how it works. This will continue. Here's what Paul says. Until we, not even you, not even a few of us, not even the holiest amongst us, until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. That's the goal. And you can sit here and think, well, we're a long way from that. I know. I'm looking around. It's a crowded room. Some of you didn't get to sit in your seat, and the standard of Christ in you left. You have been mad. You were mad until the third song. I'd never noticed this before, and I've probably read this passage 1,000 times. The standard isn't me. The standard is we. It's not about me growing into full and complete measure of Christ. It's about us growing and in the full and complete measure of Christ. And I think that's because God knows in my own strength, me alone, I can't do that. I can't be all things to all people. But when a group of people gather in Jesus' name and decide to let him use them, he can move through us. And because he's given us different gifts and strengths and talents and abilities, he can make us as a body adequate. He can make us as a body able to help people and to love people and to serve people. But it's only when we all engage and embrace being a part of the body. That's when we can continue to become more and more like Christ. The other part of this is the standard Paul is giving is a standard we will not attain until we get to heaven. So essentially what he's saying is, you will need the church your entire life. If you're breathing, you need the church. Because there's still an area of your life that can be brought into submission and into alignment with the standard of Jesus. And if you don't believe me, drive around this weekend with tourist traffic. And then come see me Sunday and say, yep, I'm not there. I don't have the full and complete standard of Christ. I don't. Thought I had it. And then somebody on King's Highway decided they needed to go that way, and they were in this lane. They just stopped. They just stopped, Pastor. They just stopped. Who does that? They just stopped. And I'm like, whoo, okay, breathe. I receive that in the name of Jesus. I too have experienced your frustration. Let us come together so we continue to grow to the standard of Christ. Because once we get there, look at this, then we'll no longer be immature like children. You know who screams when they don't get on the way, their own way on the highway? Children. We won't be tossed around and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. He keeps going. He says, instead, we'll speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Our church. Wellspring Church. And watch this. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. You know what that means? That means if Wellspring is your home, there is a perfect fit for you here. And I can promise that because I didn't create it. God did. God makes our body fit together perfectly. And in his grace, it's always growing. We're always inviting new people in. And it's always expanding. In fact, that's what he said we're supposed to be doing. The whole point of equipping is so that we can grow. Not only personally, but collectively. But don't you miss this part. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. That means all of us in this room are a perfect fit somewhere. And here's why it matters. As each part, me, you, all of us, does its own special work, uses its own experiences, its own faith, its own gifts, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. That's why I can say that God's plan is fulfilled through his church and our purpose is found in his church. Let me put it bluntly. If Wellspring is your home, God's given you something that someone else needs. Ooh. Yes. And he's given someone else something you need. And it's only as we live in community and we share it and we share what we've been given and we receive from others that we find it easier to make allowances for each other's faults and to be patient and to speak in love because we realize, oh, okay, yeah, God, I really don't want to waste this. Now, look, I know that there are people in this room who are scared of church. I get it. You've been hurt in church, and I understand that, and I apologize for that. The reason you were hurt in church is made up of people. And I have really bad news for you. I'm a person. I know, shocking. Which means I'm not perfect. As your pastor, I will probably let you down at some point, and I'm very sorry about that. I may have let you down, and I'm very sorry about that. But here's what I can promise. We wake up every day striving to walk worthy. And one of the ways we walk worthy is apologize, to make amends, to forgive. And I can't really apologize on behalf of the other churches. I can apologize on behalf of your Heavenly Father, though, that one of his children hurt you. Parents, you know how you feel when your kid does something wrong to somebody else after the 30 minutes you spent defending them, and then you realize, oh, yeah, they were wrong. Oof. I'm sorry about that. And my prayer today is that the Holy Spirit would maybe give you the courage to step back in. because God's plan is fulfilled here. Our purpose is found here. It doesn't mean we work here. It means we're equipped and we're trained here to go out there. There's two ways we kind of talk about this at our church. You've probably heard us talk about them. One of the ways is we say everyone has a role to play in God's story. That's our way of saying you have a gift, you have a gift, we all have gifts. And it's when we step into those gifts, when we use those gifts, not only do we grow, but other people grow. One of the clearest ways I've seen this in my life really over the last decade is in our children's environments because I have three kids. And all three of them have come up through Wellspring Kids, are now Wellspring Students. And I am so overwhelmingly grateful for the men and women who have chosen to play a role in God's story in the lives of my children. Their faith is stronger. They are amazing men because other people played a role in their lives. Other people gave their time. They gave their effort. They gave their energy. And I assure you, they didn't always get it right. Their dad doesn't always get it right either. There's a reason Paul says, make allowances for each other's faults. He's like, hey, go in knowing they're going to mess up. And here's what I get when I talk to people who do jump in and play their role. They thank me for it. They thank me. And I'm like, but you're helping me with my kids. And they thank me. And I get it. It's because we've created the place for them to use their gifts. And we've created a place for you to use yours. And it's in that using that God's going to change your life. But it's about more than serving. We also talk here a lot about how circles are better than rows. That means that we value community a great deal. In spending life together, walking with men and women or families that are going through the same things you are going through. Because it is in that community that God is able to exhibit that amazing exchange of what I have and what you need. There's just something cosmic about the way God does it, because there is no struggle you have in your life. If you need hope today because of an issue going on in your life, I can assure you in a church our size, we have someone that can not only give you hope, they can walk with you through it because they're on the other side of it. They've already passed through the storm you're walking in. But do you know who I can't help? Someone that we don't know that's walking through a storm. I can't help that. I can't. I wish I could, but I can't. I can't. Our church can't help. Our church had a loss this week. I mean, our loss is heaven's gain, but we lost a dear lady named Alice. You may not know her name, but if you came to First Hour, she probably greeted you at the front door. If there's a picture of pure joy, it was her. I am convinced God has put her on the greeting team in heaven. And when we get there, she's going to say hello. A friend of hers, who's a friend of mine, called to let me know what had happened. They wanted us to know, and I appreciated that because our church, we have, you know, they're in a small group, and we have a care team, and we're gonna take care of them. But he asked me a question. He said, hey, Trey, I'm just curious. What do other people do? I know you. I have your phone number. What if people don't know anybody in our church? How do they let us know? I said, well, honestly, there's not a lot we can do. I was like, well, we'll be kind and we'll pray for them, but we care in community. And if you're engaged in our church and you're in community in our church, you're never more than one degree away from whoever you need to talk to about anything that's going on. Your community group leaders know who to get in charge of. If you serve in our church, you have direct access to a staff. Like it's not an issue. But if you're not those things, when there's trouble, it's hard for the body to be the body. Because you're not connected to it. That's why we invite you to connect. It's because we want to be there for you. But we can't if we don't know. I'm convinced many, many people treat churches like grocery stores. Places you go only when necessary. But interestingly enough, now you can get what you need online. Love you guys. But think about it. You probably have your go-to grocery store where the prices are cheap. But then you also have a different grocery store if you want to get better meat. Or like my wife, she has to eat a special diet, so I think she visits 4 grocery stores a week. And a grocery store is a place we go when we need something, and we go, we get it, we get out as fast as possible. But when something bad happens in your life, you don't go to the grocery store and wander the aisles. Because that's not a place you go for connection. That's a place you go to consume. Yeah, I go to this church this week because he's preaching this series, but this guy's doing the series next week, so I'm going to go there, and I like this music, and I listen to this podcast, and I watch this guy online, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm your pastor, and I love you. Who's going to be there when something goes bad? We want to know you. We want to love you. But you have to be connected. You have to be in community for us to be able to play our part. Why? We said it and we're done. Because God's plan is fulfilled through his church. It just is. God's plan to usher you through the storm that's coming that you don't know about, his plan is to usher you through his church. The tragedy that's coming that you don't know about, he's got a plan, and it's his church. But it's not just bad things. Also, our purpose is found in his church. The new job you're going to get in 2 years that you don't know about, God wants to mold you and shape you right now for it. That grandchild that's going to need your help, God wants to give you the right words right now. That family that you don't even know is going to become your next door neighbor, and their marriage is going to start falling apart, God wants to prepare you and equip you now to be the voice they need in that moment. Now, where's he going to do it? If you call Wellspring home, it's right here. If you call another church home, it's right there. So my prayer today is very simple. May we embrace God's design for his church. May we today take whatever step we need to take to dive in to the church where we feel like we're at home. And may we do this because we all resolve together to wake up every morning, remember what God's done, look in the mirror and say, I would sure hate to waste that. Let's stop settling for anything less than God's absolute best for our life. And that means we plant deep into the church that will become our church. Because that's how he's going to change us. And that's how he's going to change the world. Let me pray. Father, we love you so much. Oh, we're just so overwhelmingly grateful for who you are and for what you do in our lives. And God, we thank you for this gift of a church, of a group of people that we can come together with and be family with and hurt with and celebrate with. God, we love you and we thank you. Father, open our eyes to see the step we need to take and give our hearts the courage and the conviction to take it. May we step into your community, step into your plan, step into your connection so that we can be equipped, so that we can be prepared, so that we can become the men and women you want us to be to accomplish everything you have planned for us. We love you. We thank you. So in your son's name we pray. Amen.